in here probably about 5:30 last night, and they y'all did a good job of filling us up with chili and dessert, and so we're good to go today. It was a definitely a blessing. It is a privilege to be here to see some friends here. This is probably my third or fourth time to be here, and it's just great to see what the Lord's doing here and how the Lord is working, and to see some people that I've seen already and then some new people here. It is a blessing. Have my wife Betsy here. Good to have her traveling. We weren't sure if she was going to be able to come with us today, but glad that she was able to be here. And we have our son Jeremiah. He's back there probably causing somebody a headache back there, but that's what he does. That's what he's good at, so he's sticking with his strength. So it is a blessing to be here. I'm just so thankful for how God works and moves in people's lives, and then even in my life. I never thought when I graduated Heartland Baptist Bible College in 2005 that I would be back there 5 years later working on staff and now in the position that I am now. And it's just great as you follow the Lord and as you're submissive to the Lord, just to see how he works things out according to his plan as you follow him each step along the way. There was a time in my life when I was getting ready to graduate Bible college back in 2005 that there's sometimes always that apprehension, okay, what am I going to do? What am I supposed to do? Am I supposed to go here? Supposed to go there? But honestly, the Lord just really helped to show me that I don't really need to worry about what's coming a year from now, 2 years from now, 5 years from now. Really what I need to do is just follow him today. Follow him right now. And then as I do that, it's just great how the Lord will direct things. I'm still learning this. I haven't learned it yet, but I'm still learning that sometimes if I worry and fret about things, most of the time those things never even happen, and the Lord takes care of those things before they even come. And sometimes I realize, you know what, I was pretty foolish to be worrying about those things when the Lord just worked it out. What I'm trying to say is it's a blessing to just be in submission and yielded and following the Lord in a day-to-day. You meet great people, you make great friends doing that, and even you have a good help. And as has already been mentioned, we're from Heartland Baptist Bible College there in Oklahoma City. And if you have any questions about the school while we're here, feel free to ask us, to ask one of these guys. They can give you the answer, or at least they can probably make something up that sounds pretty official, So if they say something questionable, you may just come ask me, and I'll see if that's correct. And I may not even know the answer either, but we'll do what we can. We just want to be a blessing to you while we're here, so if we can, then let us know. We're going to look over in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter number 4 today. 2 Corinthians chapter number 4. Back when I was in college, and then after I graduated from college, I went back and worked in my home church up in Guymon, Oklahoma for a few years. And while I was up there, I was probably what you would label or categorize as a talk radio junkie. I listen to it all the time, all the different talk radio shows, all the different types of talk radio shows. I just enjoyed listening to it. But then over time, they began to get more frustrating and more frustrating. Just as there's so much argument and opinions as to, well, this is what needs to happen, and this is what needs to happen. And then even watching different news stations, I mean, a person can really get themselves worked up into into some anxiety if you watch the news and see what's going on in the world today. It's clear to see that there's turmoil, that America is not what it used to be. America is not what it once was. So that led me to think. There are people out there that would say and that would think that, you know what, America is going the right direction. America's going the right way. America's doing everything that is right, that is good. And if I were to ask somebody, like, what is America going the right direction morally? And I would say, I really believe that America is going the right direction morally. Things are going great. Things are going well. Things are just like they're supposed to be. I mean, morally, the nation and the country is right on track. It's going the right way. If I were to genuinely think that, I mean, there's a lot of things that somebody, a person that would believe the Bible and would hold to the Bible, they may have some objections to that. They may have some things to say to the contrary and say, I'm not for sure if America is going the right direction. And some from previous generations would harbor back to days when the Bible was not only allowed to be read in schools and in the public circle, but it was encouraged. And it was applauded that somebody would do that. Even prayer in public places. The idea that there is a supreme being out there that we need and that we rely upon for our health, for our safety, for our security. It would be accepted. It would be the norm that people in the world and society would accept. Now, maybe they may not hold and truly understand all of the doctrines of God and of Jesus Christ and of Scripture and the Bible, but they would intellectually assent to the fact that there has to be something out there that is in control and that they think it's right that we show our dependence upon that. Those days are pretty much long gone. That those days are changing. I mean, there wasn't a big stir and a big complaint if somebody posted the Ten Commandments in a public place. But now it's like you can't do that. I even think back on TV shows, you know, even back 50, 60 years ago, the things that were not allowed. I love shows like The Andy Griffith Show. My wife and I, and even my son now, we're big Andy Griffith Show fans. It's just a good, wholesome show. Now, there's some things in there that Andy maybe get a little crazy about, but it's not bad. It's a good show. Things like old Leave It to Beaver television shows. I mean, if you can imagine, I was watching a documentary on one of those old shows, and they were talking about how that Leave It to Beaver was very controversial for its time and for its day. Because it was one of the only shows that just centered around these two young boys. And they're like, I don't know if we're going to be able to have a show that just centers around the life of these two young boys, that they're the main characters. And so people were a little leery of it. They even got so far as when they were putting the show on TV that they said, okay, we don't want to show the bathroom on TV. So y'all cannot do that. It's not appropriate. It's not right to show a bathroom on TV. So we're not going to do that. So they wouldn't allow them to do that for the first few episodes. And then as things progressed, they would allow them to do things. And I was just thinking as I was watching that, I'm like, man, how far have we drifted from that? When you know, 50, 60 years ago, they were wrestling over, man, we're not going to allow them to show a bathroom on TV. And now to think of all the things that are displayed and that are broadcast over TV, and it's just acceptable. And if you are to say something against that, or if you are to express any type of disfavor for those things, then you're thought of as weird and as strange. I mean, even just the other day, the vice president of our country was by a person on TV was said that he has mental illness because he prays to Jesus and he hears Jesus and that Jesus speaks to him. The lady said, well, that's not faith, that's not normal, that's a mental illness. I mean, that's how far have we drifted? So there's a lot of things that we can look at. I mean, things like you know, divorce and a lot of different things. The different types of lifestyles that are out there that are in clear violation of Scripture. I mean, we don't have to do a whole lot of looking back to say things have changed morally. Politically, things have changed. But here's what happens, and this is why I started to get frustrated with things like talk radio and the news, because there's two different sides, and everybody's trying to say, well, this is what we need to do to solve the problems of America. And another group would say, well, this is what we need to do to solve the problems. The problems of America are crime. And see, that's the issue. And others say, well, no, it's not crime, it's something else. So, I mean, I looked up some statistics. So is the problem with America, and is the solution? Do we just need to focus on crime? Well, I read some statistics. Since 1991 to 2015, the homicide rate dropped over half in the U.S. I mean, so somebody would say, yeah, look, America's going the right direction. Our crime rate has fallen. Things are going good. Things are going well. Even juvenile crimes are down from what they were, you know, 10, 15 years ago. They say, yeah, things are not in a bad state. Things are getting better. I think of things like abortion. I mean, a horrible thing to happen and take place, and a plague on our country. But even that has shown a decrease in the last 10, 15 years. I saw a news story even just this last, about 2 weeks ago, that there were only about 7 new abortion clinics started in the whole country this last year. And there were more that closed than opened this last year. And I think that's great. That's wonderful. That's awesome. Praise the Lord for that. And some people would say, you know, these are signs. These are things that are pointing to the upward slide of America. Things are going great. And that's what we need to focus on. We need to focus on crime. We need to focus on maybe some of these government regulations and things that are harming our economy and harming, you know, free speech and religious free speech and all that stuff. A poll was taken by the Gallup organization, and they wanted to see, what does America, this is about a year and a half ago, what does America think is the biggest problem in our country and in our society today? So they listed them in the top 10. So what do you think in the world at large, what do you think they believe is the biggest problem in America today? What do you think some of those problems are? Any guess? Yeah? Racism, that was on the list, yeah. Racism was on the list, on the top 10. It made the top 10. Yes, sir. Global warming. Honestly, that one didn't make the list on there. It didn't make the top 10 list. You would think it would by how much it's talked about today. Well, it's any other ideas of what people think, what this world thinks and people at large think is the biggest problem in America? Affluence, money. That one didn't make the list either. Murder, that I would fit into crime was one of them. Yeah, crime. Yeah, I would say that would fit in there. Gun control. What's funny about that one is, depending on who you ask, that made the list for the top 10, but one said that gun control is the biggest problem, and one group said that guns are the biggest problem. So they kind of lumped that, depending on who you ask. They said, well, either gun control is the biggest problem or having guns is the biggest problem. So that was that one made the list. So guns or gun control. Any other questions you guys, or any other thoughts? You guys got any ideas? What do you think? I mean, you guys are smart college guys. You can, huh? Poverty. I think that one was on the list. Nick, you got something? World religion. Okay, here's what it is. Number 10. Anything? This is what people think. The number 10, the top 10. Number 10 was education, that we just need more education in our world and in our society today. Number 9 was the gun or gun control, depending on who you ask. Number 8, healthcare. That's the biggest problems plaguing our world today. Number 8 was healthcare. Number 7 was crime. That's the biggest problem. Number 6, race issues. That's the biggest problem in our world and society today. And obviously, this was just about a year and a half ago, close to 2 years ago. And the number 5 was elections. That's the biggest problem and issue going on in our world today. Number 4 was national security, was a big deal. Number 3, illegal immigration was number 3. So that's what they think is the biggest problem in the world today. Number 2 was terrorism. So that's the biggest plague in our country today. And number 1 was the government. They say the number 1 problem in America and in our world today is the government. Now here's the problem. Say, why do we need to even think about those things? Because the way that you view, or what you view as the biggest problem with our country and with our world today, is going to affect what you think the solution to the biggest problem in the world today. And if you think this is the biggest problem, then whatever you think is the biggest solution is probably by default going to say this is probably the most important thing or what we should be giving a lot of our effort and time to. You know why there's a lot of people debating and fighting over the whole race issue? Because they think that's the biggest problem in America today. So they're going to fight, they're going to labor, they're going to proclaim and say, we've got to do something about this. We've got to do something about this. Do I admit, yeah, we got to do something about this, but I don't think just talking about that is going to be the solution. You know, as Christians and as people that would hold to the Word of God, we know and we understand that, yeah, America and the country and our world is not going in the direction that is right, but what's the solution? Well, before we even ask the question or before we can answer the question, what's the solution, we've really got to look at, well, what's the problem? You know, before we can solve any solution, you know, you don't want to go to a doctor and ask them to fix something and he has no idea what's going on. He says, well, let's just try something. I don't even know what your symptoms are. I don't even want to know what the problem is. We're just going to start operating and see what we can figure out. No, it's not going to happen. You got to stop and contemplate and figure out what is the biggest problem. And look in 2 Corinthians chapter number 4. The whole idea here in 2 Corinthians is, in 1 Corinthians, Paul was really addressing a church that had a lot of problems, that had a lot of issues, that was really enthralled in self-wisdom and in strife and in immorality and even things that we see today where this class of people is promoting themselves over this class of people. I mean, just a lot of problems within that church. And so Paul addressed those problems in 1 Corinthians, and the great thing is they started to make things right. They started to get things right. So the book of 2 Corinthians is really Paul revisiting some of those things, encouraging some of those things, and really challenging them that, listen, you've got to remember some things in order to live a godly life in this world. I mean, they were dealing with it in the first century where there were things that were contrary to God and His Word that were tempting them to be drawn away. But he says in chapter number 4, talking about the work of the ministry and the gospel, and he goes on, and I just want to, for sake of time, jump down to verse number 3. But he says this, or look in verse number 2. But we have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. Verse number 3, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, and whom the God of this world hath blinded the mind of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. What is Paul trying to get at here through inspiration of the Holy Spirit? That, listen, we have a great ministry. We have a great opportunity. We have a great truth in what? In the gospel. In the death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And when somebody puts their faith and trust in Jesus Christ, it changes them. It makes a difference in their life. Does that mean they're perfect? No, absolutely not. But you know what that means? They now, I love the book of Colossians, because it goes on to stress that you don't need to search for anything else as a believer in Jesus Christ, as a believer of the gospel. You don't need to go to anything else to find meaning, to find fulfillment, to find strength, to find answers to your problems. You now have everything that you need to live a godly and a fruitful life in this world. Why do you have that? Because of the gospel. Without the gospel, there would be no hope. Without the gospel, there would be no purpose in life. Everybody would just be roaming around in their own wisdom trying to figure things out for themselves. But what Paul is saying is that we've got to remember we have a great ministry. We have a great truth. We have a great responsibility. And he says if we're not about fulfilling our role, fulfilling our responsibility in propagating the gospel and administering the gospel, he says it's going to be hid. People aren't going to know it. And he says if it's hid, who is it hid to? To them that are lost. The same people that Satan has blinded and has concealed the truth to them, they're not going to know the gospel if we're not faithful in proclaiming it. He's in essence saying this, we have what the world needs. The gospel has what not only the world needs, but what each family needs, each community needs, each home needs, each person needs. It's the gospel. It's not gun control or the lack of guns that people need. It's the gospel. If a person rightly understands, and if a person has trusted the Word of God, and a person has assented to the truths of the gospel in Jesus Christ, then you know what? You know what that solves? That solves the racism problem. Because in Christ, what does the Bible say? We're all one. In Christ, there's no Jew, there's no Gentile, there's no bond nor free. In Christ, we're all the same. Because we're all guilty before God, and that same God, same Jesus Christ, died for all. So there's no reason to distinguish that this person is better than that person, because we are all sinners and guilty before God and didn't deserve the mercy and grace that He showed upon us. And if we truly believe that, then there's no room for racism. It's gone. There's no room for the strife, the contention, education's not going to solve anything that the gospel is not already given the answer to. It's already there. And he says that if we need to be about the propagating, the dispersion of the gospel. As I said, I loved at one time listening to those different shows and different news stories. But you know what I found myself doing when I was watching those things? I found myself getting a little bit distracted from the most important. I found myself getting a little bit distracted and really honestly saying, yeah, man, we need to really make sure that we're busy about this political world and really busy about making sure that we're correcting all of the problems in governments. Hey, as long as we have the freedom and opportunity to be involved and to vote and do all those things, yeah, we need to be involved. I think it's our responsibility in that, and we should. But listen, the whole world and our country can be making all kinds of crazy, weird decisions politically and in the government, but yet that shouldn't really shake my hope or my faith in the truth or in the gospel. It shouldn't cause me to live in turmoil. You know what it really should help me to do? To be reignited in my purpose and in my passion to get out the one true solution to the problems. In 1 Corinthians, Paul talked to these same people. And he said, when I came to you, I didn't come really trying to understand a whole lot about you, about your past and your struggles and all your problems. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, you can look it up. It says, I determined when I came to you not to know anything among you but Jesus Christ and Him crucified. It says, because really, everything else really didn't matter up until that point. The most important thing that did matter, he says, is you and your relationship with Jesus Christ. Because if you have the right relationship between you and Jesus Christ, everything else will fall into place. Everything else will be as it needs to be. But Satan is very good at getting us distracted sometimes at good things and in good things that we may neglect the one best thing, the thing that is the most important. I can be so busy trying to fix the political system. I can be so busy trying to fix the problems in government and really neglect that God has already given us a great solution to every problem that this world would ever face and ever could face. Doesn't mean it's an immediate fix, because I understand there's sins, there's consequences to actions, there's things that happen. But if we neglect the power of the gospel, we're neglecting our greatest tool to fight the problems not only in government but the problems in our own life. I think of different legislation and things that come out, and we can be real busy and real passionate about, man, here's this new regulation that's going to hamper and it's going to harm the ability for churches to preach the gospel and to teach the gospel. I heard of a coach I think it was in California, if I remember right, that he was fired from his coaching job, not because he was trying to get other people to pray, but just because he simply prayed himself before the football game. And they said, well, just those students seeing that, you're trying to encourage that and you're trying to manipulate that, so we're not gonna allow you to do that here. And we can get very passionate about that. Is that wrong? Absolutely, that's wrong. But we can get so passionate trying to change the laws and try to say, man, there's so many laws that are attacking the truth and that are attacking the gospel. And so we need to try to be busy about making sure that the laws are there and that are such so that we can protect the gospel. But listen, the gospel doesn't need to be protected. It just needs to be proclaimed. And as it is proclaimed, the protection and all that stuff will take care of itself. You know what? Even in our world today, even if we do face more challenging persecution or even challenging oppression, I think of what the New Testament believers faced in the book of Acts. As they faced greater pressure and persecution, it was more of a fire for them to go out and to spread the truth and to spread the gospel. But I'm afraid and even in my own life that I can get distracted and weighed down with the problems of this world and think, oh, woe is me. Look at what's happening. Look at our world. Look at our society. Look at our country. Look at our homes. Look at our families. Look at what's going on. It's horrible. Yes, it is. It is horrible. But we have the solution. We have the right answers in the Word of God. It's not that we need to stop here and try to protect the gospel from anything. We need to be about proclaiming it. We need about believing it, that it has the answers, it has what we need. So the question is then, I've got to ask myself, how faithful am I at believing the gospel? Faithful am I at taking the truths of the gospel and what all it implies, that Jesus Christ would die for us and would die for me, everything that implies, everything that tells, how faithful am I at believing that and resting in that and trusting in that? But then how faithful am I in proclaiming that and of making it about my life and making it about my daily business to make sure that I'm not only rightly representing the gospel, but that I'm trying to, everywhere I go, try to make sure and be mindful that sure, these people may be going through a problem, maybe going through issues, but my own wisdom's not going to help it. My own ideas, my own thoughts are not going to help their problem. What is going to help them? The truths of this word, the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's what we need to be focused on. That's what we need to be about. And all these other good things, yeah, can we pray for those things? Can we work in those things? Absolutely. But let's not neglect the most important thing for that which is less powerful, that is less significant. Father, thank you for your word. Lord, I pray that you would help us as we live our lives, as we go from day to day. And Father, I'm just so thankful to see people here and lives here that have been touched by the gospel. But not only that, to see lives that are here and people that are here because other people's lives have been touched by the gospel, and they have tried to be a witness and a testimony to them. Father, I think of where I would be without the fact that Jesus Christ came and died on a cross to take my punishment and my penalty for sin. And Father, to think of where I would be if I had rejected that truth or that revelation, Lord, I know that I would be at enmity with you. And Father, I would be on my way to hell today without hope. So Father, I pray that you would help us to be mindful of the power of the gospel, the importance of the gospel, or the ability that it has to address us in our life, where we are, and with the problems that we face. And Lord, I pray that you would bless the day today. I pray that you would help us to honor you, Lord. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.